I want to make a point of clarification. For those of you who were in Bible class, I want to clarify something. And a lot of you older folks know who Paul Harvey was, so now you're going to know the rest of the story, right? I just want to let you know, when I told you the story about the lady saying, well, I'll pay for that, the reason why is I didn't have a dollar bill on me. And so that's the reason why I was going to use a credit card. So if you want to know the story, ask one of your brothers and sisters that are in here that were in the Bible class. This lesson is really for me. I looked at some things and I said, I'm gonna preach on this. And some of you know what it's going to be on. But when I started looking at it and came across some, I thought about some things that I had never thought about before. And so as we go through this lesson, and as you look at those pictures that are moving forward, I think you're going to know what the lesson's about, right? And once it goes through all these little pictures, we'll start the lesson. Okay, that's my lesson. We'll go ahead and pack up. But the question is, why all the hearts? Simple thing would be is, guess what today is? February 14th, right? Valentine's Day. The day of lovers and cards and all this other stuff. And for me, it's interesting when you look at it, because we spend a lot of money on this day. And there's things that we do for others that makes us feel good. We may receive something from them and it makes them feel good. I feel sorry for the children in elementary school. This is like one of the biggest days for them. I can remember, you know, handing out Valentine cards to my friends. And you probably did the same thing, or you know children that do. And so there was an excitement, you know, and then a boy or a little girl would say, I got a special card for this one. And so it's a special day. But I tell you who it's really likes this day, who really likes this day, are card companies, right? I mean, there is, how many holidays can you think of? It may not even be holidays, but Grandparents' Day, all these days that they just, I mean, they flood the market with cards. And what they want you to do is they want you to buy those cards. Flower shops, really happy. Chocolatiers, candy makers, jewelry stores, restaurants this year, not so much. And I came across a statistic that was interesting, is that it says that people are expected to spend approximately $22 billion, with a B, for Valentine's Day this year. And even though that's a lot of money, they said that's down $6 billion from 2020. And they said the reason why is it's due to limited gatherings and entertainment options thanks to the pandemic. And we know that. And so when you look at it, this is just one day out of the year. But we should show love for our friends, our families, those around us. We should show it all every day. But card companies have taken an opportunity to make this a big day. So why the heart? It's a universal symbol, right? How many times have you watched TV and people are doing this? Right? I can't remember what side, but they do that, right? The heart is a universal symbol for love and thank you and I love you and all this stuff. And so people think of the heart when they do that, this, you know, that emotional side of people. But from a biblical perspective, the heart is part of man's spiritual makeup. And I'll tell you what is, when you look at the scriptures, if you look at the word heart or hearts or whatever, and you just pull up, and I just, for me, looking at New King James Version, going to BibleGateway.com, it's not a plug for them, but that's where I look at a lot of my scriptures, is that I just plug in heart. And I said the Bible. The word heart or some connection to it or whatever thought is used over 950 times in the Bible. And so when you look at it, it's an important aspect of what the Bible is all about, what God's all about. But it goes on to say it's a place where the emotions and the desires begin. It's that which drives the will of man towards action. Or it could be inaction. So I started that and I said, listen, forget Valentine's Day, but let's look at the heart. Look at our heart. Because it all begins with the heart. Once you go back and look at Genesis, the 6th chapter, and verse 5. This kind of leads up to what? It's the flood. Right? And he says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, we look at today and the world that we live, and we think it's evil. It's really hard for me to kind of envision how evil it must be. And I've talked to several of you in here before about this, but how bad was it? And verse 6, the writer goes on, he says, and the Lord was sorry. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart, right? Man's heart is continually on evil. And the Lord says, it grieves my heart that I made man. But let's go back to the beginning. And this is where things started to kind of wake me up and had me looking at this topic in a totally different light. Because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, then God said what? Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And so I want you to think about, have you ever thought about why you have a heart? I'm not talking about the physical heart, because we know without a heart, none of us would be here, right? But why do we have a heart? We have a heart because God has a heart. It's a spiritual heart. It's not the physical one that drives our behavior. It's that spiritual heart that drives our behavior. And getting this lesson, I kind of thought about, I look at James Moody. I say several years ago, it could have been more than that now, but when he had heart surgery. And think about the number of our brothers and sisters that we have in here that have had heart issues lately. Bill Mitchell, Barbara Levitt, and David Gunter. But one thing about the physical heart is it doesn't impact your spiritual heart. It shouldn't. And so when you look at it, we have a heart because God has a heart. He doesn't have a physical heart, but he has the spiritual heart, and that's what we have. And sometimes we'll look at a brother or sister and we'll say like, oh man, he or she has a sin problem. How many times have you said that, or how many times have you heard somebody else say that? They got a sin problem. No, they don't have a sin problem, even though it is a problem. They, or our sin problem, is the result of a heart problem. And that's what I want us to focus on this morning and look at it. It's because it's sin is a result of our heart. It's just the aftermath of our thought process and what we do. But we have a heart problem. And to think about it is, look, to change your heart, you have to change your priorities. And we all have to do that. If we're living in a life and we live in a rut, we're going to stay in that rut unless we change. Our heart is going to stay in whatever rut that we're running in unless we change, and we need to change our priorities. So let's go back and look at Genesis, the 8th chapter, for a second. It's a few words here, but it said that after the flood, it says that then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And then the Lord said in what? In his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I've done. His heart was touched by what he's done. But whose fault was it? It was our fault. And when I say ours, I'm talking about man. But I left out this particular verse, this section of this verse, and inserted it here, underlined. It says, and although this is what he's going to do. I'll never curse the ground again. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And so we have a problem. We have a heart problem. And we need to get over it. But he goes on to verse 22. And he quotes this, and it says, and while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. It's going to continue. God said, I'm not going to destroy the world again. But these things will continue. Forget about climate change, right? I don't want to say anything. I'll just stop there. But look at what God says. While the earth remains seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night, it's not going to cease. Life is going to continue to go on. It may not cycle around and do the things that we think that it should, but it's going to continue. I'd like to go ahead and ask you to get your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Because I got to read this, and I want you to read along with me. Hopefully, you brought your Bibles with you. Or your phones. I'm sure most of you have your Bible on your phone these days. But look what God is saying about Judah's sin and its punishment. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. And he says, look, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. With the point of a diamond, it is engraved. On the tablet of their heart. God says, not their physical heart, but he says, on their spiritual. He says, on the tablet of their hearts and on the horns of your altars, while their children remember their altars and their wooden images by the green trees on the high hills. That's what their children are going to remember. They're going to see, they're seeing what their parents are doing before them. And that's what he's learning. But he said, these things are written on the tablet of their heart. Verse 3, he says, on my mountain, in the field, I will give as plunder your wealth, all your treasures, and your high places of sin within all your borders. And you, even yourself, shall let go of your heritage which I gave you, and I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which you do not know, for you, your heart, has kindled fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. So we have an issue. We have a heart problem, and we need to get it corrected. Going on down in that same chapter in verse 9 and 10, he says, God says, look, the heart is deceitful. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And he says, who can know it? this part of this verse is really
intriguing to me, because he says, I the Lord,
and we know this, but he says, I the Lord, search the heart, test the mind, and even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. According to his ways and to the fruit of his doings. That's what comes out of the heart. And God says, look, I search the heart. I test the mind. And so we need to correct that. And most of us know this scripture from heart. But he said, this is from Isaiah. And he says, Jesus said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The problem, they got a heart problem. They need some desperate heart surgery. But this heart, no doctor can take care of it. It's only you or me that can take care of our own hearts. But their heart is far from me. So think about the hearts of these individuals. We won't spend a lot of time on them, but Cain, Pharaoh, and Solomon. Don't have to say a whole lot, because all of us should know who these individuals are and should have an indication of what their hearts were about. Genesis 4th chapter in verse 6 and 7, before the flood. And it says, the Lord said to Cain, and we know the difference between Abel and Cain. God accepted one sacrifice, and he didn't the other, and he didn't accept Cain's. But he says, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Sin lies at our door. But sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. There's a lesson just in this two verses for all of us. And we need to listen to what God's Word is saying and go back and look at it. Look before and look after. Exodus, the 7th chapter, in verse 13 and 14. We know what happens with Pharaoh and when Moses go back, and Aaron, and they do all these miracles, and it's just like one thing after another. But it says in verse 13, it says, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard. Wasn't having a heart attack. But he says, and he did not heed them. He didn't heed Moses and Aaron, what they were saying, as the Lord had said. So the Lord said to Moses, he said, look, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let my people go. He's got a hard heart. He's got a stubborn heart. He's got a heart that doesn't want to listen to the things which I tell him to do. He's got a heart problem. But he's going to get it fixed, or change of heart, no pun intended, shortly. And this is really sad when you think about it. Solomon, King Solomon, wisest man in the world, riches. Do you remember why God gave him all those things? He didn't ask for them. He says, I just need to know how to rule your people. That's what he wanted. He says, but you haven't asked for these things. I'm going to give them to you. You're going to be the wisest man in the world, and you're going to be the richest man in the world. But guess what? He started out with a good heart, but then things swayed his heart, right? And he goes on in verse 13, chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. And Solomon had 700 wives. Don't know why that would be, but princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. There are things in this world that will turn your heart and my heart away from God. There's no doubt about it. But the sad part here is, it said, as you go down to this verse, it says, when he was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. And it baffles our minds sometimes. We look at Solomon, we're going like, with all this wisdom, why could you not see these things happening? You know what his problem was with his heart? He loved women. One day he just had 2 or 3 or 10 wives. He had 700, 300 concubines. He had a heart problem. So think about this. Opportunity may knock only once, but temptation leans on the doorbell.
Opportunity.
Right? Listen, we all suffer every day, and we all are presented with temptations, and they don't go away. And the problem that we have sometimes is that we fail. It's not just that we fail, but we fail miserably. And then we wake up and pick ourselves up and go, like, how did I do that? It's because my heart wasn't in the right place. So just remember, we have opportunities to obey and serve God. But the Satan is always going to be there, pressing that doorbell. He's not going to let up. So let's go around and look at some things that are positive. Let's look at some people and think about the hearts of these individuals. Job, Moses, and David. There's numerous people I could have put up, right? But Job is always one, I think, that fascinates most of us. And to think about the Lord God telling Satan and making this comment about him, it still amazes me. Job, the first chapter, verse 8, and he says, then the Lord said to Satan, he says, look, have you considered my servant Job? Go over and look at him. Have you considered him? That there is none like him on the earth. Now, let me tell you, if that doesn't tell you about Job, nothing else will. I mean, it's an unbelievable statement. There is none like him on the earth. A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Job had his heart in the right place. And it's amazing to me. And remember when his wife says, well, just curse God and die, right? What was his response to his wife? Go back and look at it. I won't. No, but Paul Harvey, that's the rest of the story. You can find it yourself. Numbers, the 12th chapter and verse 3. And it talks about Moses. And here's this parenthetical statement about him. Is that he says, now the man Moses was very humble. Very humble. And here's another statement that's kind of unbelievable when you think about it. He says, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. That's a pretty big statement. He was humble, more humble than any man on the face of the earth. Powerful statement. Now, what about David? And we know this quote by heart, but I want you to think about what it's saying. Luke, writing to Theophilus in Acts 13, verse 22, he says, and when he had removed Saul, he said, he raised up for them, the children of Israel, David as a king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found, this is God speaking about David now, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man what? A man after my own heart, who will do my will. Now we know that later on in David's life, he made mistakes. He's not perfect. We make mistakes. But the problem is that we need to understand is what it's saying here is he says, look, he's a man after my own heart. God has a heart, and that's the reason why we have a heart. We are made in his likeness, and we are made in his image. And it ought to make us think more every day when we wake up. As I have a God that created me, I have decisions and choices I can make. But let me make the right ones. So I want you to think about this. People talk about religion all the time. Shouldn't have done that. I guess I messed up on my thing. Why is this doing this to me? Well, let's go back a couple because I didn't switch this. It'll get here in a second. No, it's going to go forward. But it's not a religion. It's a relationship, right? Christianity, people, oh, it's just a religion. It's like Buddhism and all these other isms. But Christianity is more than a religion. It's a relationship that we have with our God. We were bought with a price.
We need to have that relationship
because He wants to have it with us. And the next thing that flipped through there, and I'll have to correct it for tonight, but I don't like this quote too much, but it says, yeah, going to church, just going to church does not make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you a car. There's a phrase, and people know me, that I don't like when people, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but when people use biblical terms in unbiblical ways. Look it up. Go home and look it up anywhere you want. Nowhere does the phrase say to church. To church means a lot to a lot of different people. You talk to somebody in the denominational world, to church means something to them totally different than what it means to us. But next time somebody asks you, where are you going, or what are you doing on Sunday? Well, I go to worship, because that's what you do. That's why you come here. And the same thing, I go to Bible study. We were here for Bible study. Tell people, I'm going to Bible study. That you're telling them what you are doing Wednesday night. What are you doing Wednesday night? Come on over, let's have to eat. No, I go to Bible study on Wednesday night. Oh. If you say, oh, I go to church, well, church means a whole lot, like I said, to a lot of different people. Festivities, theater, basketball, soccer, all kind of stuff. But when you tell them you're going to Bible study, there's no doubt in your mind what you're doing. When you tell somebody you're going to worship, there's no doubt in your mind what you're doing. So it all begins in the heart, and we need to think about that. We need to take certain words out of our vocabulary and put them in with scriptural words. So it all begins in the heart, right? There's a word in the Greek that's called matoina. Why is this doing this to me? This is like, please don't go through all this stuff. But that phrase, it talks about a change of heart. And they use it in the New Testament as it relates to repentance. And it's a change of heart. It's a change of what your thought process is. It says it's a spiritual awakening kind of a thing. It's a spiritual conversion. And that's what we need to be. And I won't go back to the one before this. It was a good scripture, I'm sure. I don't remember what it was. But think about this. Remember the lesson we had and we talked about the monarch butterfly. And you think about a butterfly. It transforms from this larva thing, and it goes through its transformation stages, and it becomes this beautiful butterfly. All butterflies do that. And that's what God wants us to be. He says, don't be conformed to this world. You know what conformed is, right? You got Play-Doh? Kids push it in things, and they change shapes, and they squeeze it, and they make all kind of stuff. They conform it, but they don't change it. But God's word, Paul's telling me, he says, don't be conform to this world. Don't let the world shape you like it wants you to be. And let me tell you, we live in a world that's trying to shape our thought process and our thinking big time. But we can't let it happen. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by your heart, that you may prove that which is good and that acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed. Your heart's got to change. You cannot be baptized in Christ without your heart changing. You just can't do it. You'll be right where you were. All you do is just get wet. Psalm the 19th chapter and verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Your physical heart doesn't think. It doesn't meditate. But your spiritual heart does. And David says, look, I want the meditation of my heart to be acceptable to you. He goes on to say in Psalm 37, verse 31, he says, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. If God's law is in our heart, is directing our every step, we're not going to slip. And James, going on, says in James 4, verse 10, he says, look, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. A godly heart is a humble heart. And we live in a world full of arrogant people. And I know many of you have probably worked with them or known with them. They could even be members of your own family. But a godly person with a godly heart is going to be humble. And that's what Jones says. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Galatians, Paul writing to the Galatians, he says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. Let's not grow weary while doing good. Why, Paul? Why should we do that? He says, look, for in due season we shall reap. And I should say if. We shall reap if we do not lose what? Heart. Our heart can change. And if that's the case, we're not going to reap what we hope. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 7, Paul said, look, we fought, walk by faith and not by sight. This picture of this woman holding a child and one walking beside her, what I wanted to get you to get out of it, it's the same thing I did, is that, listen, it doesn't make any difference where we are. What happens? Josh, when he was here and he was preaching last Sunday, and he said some things that kind of went along with this lesson, is that, look, we have to know and realize that no matter what happens to us, we need to hold steady. We need to walk by faith. Because this world is not our home. We're just passing through, right? So we walk by faith and not by sight. And then James, a Christian with a good heart, is going to ask for wisdom. Because you need wisdom in this day and time to be able to walk the walk of faith. Especially with everything that's going on around us. James chapter 1 verse 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, what? Let him ask of God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God doesn't want us to be stupid people. He wants us to be wise people. The scripture says, look, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So ask God to help you with wisdom. But you're not going to be able to get it if you leave your Bible closed. You have to open it, read it, and then help me understand it. Help me walk my life with it. Paul writing the Philippians, he says, look, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say, rejoice. That's the kind of heart that we have. Believe me, there's times in our lives that we can't, or at least we don't feel like we can, but Paul is reminding us, get your perspective right. You had a God that gave his only begotten son for you. You had a son that came to this earth, lived a perfect life, and then gave himself on that cross for you and for me. We need to get our perspective right. We were purchased with a price. A much greater price than you or I could ever give each other. But we need to think about that. We need to be happy people. Diane brought up in our class about being positive. In order to be positive, don't hang around negative people. Because I'll tell you what, they will drag you down faster than a heartbeat. So we need to be that kind of people. We need to be a people that are happy. We need to know why do we rejoice? Because God loved us so much. Proverbs, going back to the Proverbs writer in Psalms, he says, look, Proverbs 4, verse 23, he says, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. It takes effort. That word diligence doesn't mean, oh, just whatever. It takes effort. Because he goes on to say, he says, for out of it, out of your heart, spring the issues of life. How you react to things in your daily life. I said I didn't know if I was going to do this, and I told Chuck I wasn't going to do it, but I need to say it, because I worked on this lesson. I'm going like, there's a lot of things that I learned, and I think, why do I have a heart? Well, the scriptures say you have a heart because God has a heart. He gave it to us, right? So I finish up the lesson, I'm looking at it, and I'm going, oh man, I'm getting a lot out of it. I hope people get a lot out of it. Get in the car, coming from home, and all of a sudden we go down North Crestview. Bill knows what I'm talking about. Got these speed bumps, right? And they're designed to go 25 miles. They're not those real hard ones. I hate those hard ones. You bounces your car all over the place. But these are nice, smooth ones. So 25 miles an hour. So if you're going 25 miles an hour, you just kind of ride over the bumps. I get behind two cars. Not just one, two. And these people are coming like to a complete stop before they go over the speed bump. Or they go like 5 miles an hour, 10. I'm going like, this is like driving me crazy. And I said something that I shouldn't have said, but Maria corrected me. I'm glad she did, because the person in front of me had one of those little handicap stickers, and they stopped at a speed bump. I have to ask, and I asked God, please forgive me and Maria, but I said, are these people physically handicapped? Are they mentally handicapped? Why are they stopping? Why are they stopping at a speed bump? Maria goes, you need to change your heart, buddy. All that stuff you wrote down, because she looked through some of that stuff that I built, but she corrects me when I'm off track. But she goes, you need to change your heart. And I thought, you know, you're right. But sometimes there's things we kind of get anxious, you know, because we want to get here. There's things that we need to do. Dennis isn't here because he's got back problems, so I took his class. Didn't find out till 8 o'clock this morning. So I'm not that doesn't give me an excuse to have a bad heart, right? So, but you're trying to get here, and all of a sudden these people are like getting in your way. They're kind of like slowing you down. But simple things like that, if that bothers me, what else? What happens when the big stuff happens? So I want you to remember one thing, and this is the lesson of yours. Just remember this. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. What do you treasure in life? What do you value in life? Is it stuff? Stuff that you can't take with you? Ask Chuck and Betty about stuff. I'm going to use, if you don't mind, is that okay, Chuck? And we're doing the same thing. I think some of us, the older we get, we really don't want more stuff. But we tend to collect stuff. A lot of us are collectors, you know. And his sister Connie is getting ready to move out of her house. And so he goes like, Rob, I don't know what to do. There's just so much stuff. And so Brent and I were over there yesterday, and you know, kind of walk around, you look in the house and go like, well, there, you know, man, there is a lot of stuff in this house. Collectible stuff. Has value to her, but what is she gonna do with it? What is somebody else gonna do with it, right? So it makes you think, is that what happens if a person gains the whole world? And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with what she had. It's just that we collect things. And it's like, what am I going to do with it? And it may remind me of the scripture. It's that what if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What profit is it? It doesn't do anything. And Maria and I talk about this sometimes, you know, and she's helped me, and we've kind of changed our attitude on certain things. We're kind of like, what is it? We can't take it with us. That's the mindset. It's not like that bumper sticker I've told you before. It says, he who has the most toys or dies with the most toys wins. That's not what life's all about. We need to understand what life's all about.
We need to remember this.
Is that for where your treasure is, where my treasure is, that's where my heart is. What do I value in life? So in a world of hearts, a world full of hearts, where's yours? Where's your heart? We need to ask ourselves that. Where is our heart? So the song has been selected. And how appropriate. Number 263. And Ryan knew the topic, but thank you for leading us. But is thy heart right with God? We all need to ask ourselves that. So Brian, if you'll come forward and lead us in that song. And if anybody needs the assistance to be obedient to gospel or needs prayer for on the behalf of the congregation, you know, please take this opportunity to come forward as Brian leads us in the song number 263. Please stand.